Hello and welcome to Discover Energy Work. Okay, I'm being a bit active today. Actually, I'm in Hong Kong, and I saw that a friend of mine, Rob, and previous guest on the show, has produced a book, and I'm about to produce a book too on a similar subject. And I thought, wait a minute, this is great practice for me to talk to him about his book and to hear all these wonderful stories about energy work. And, mostly the show is about people's, journey to energy work. Well, Rob's got this story, which is like, you're in energy work for a period of time and things change and things develop and so on. So thanks for coming down, Rob. For
Thank you
people
for
who
having
don't,
me.
you're welcome. People who don't know you're one of the sort of leading experts in the world on energy work. For especially if you worked, as a coach for Chelsea Football Club, not necessarily as an energy worker, but you've got this broad experience, and it's just so lovely to talk to you. And I talk to people that say they're energy workers, and they say, I won't let anybody do energy work for me, but I will let Rob do energy work for me. And I'm like, well, I'm like,
Oh, that's an honor.
I think that's really nice. So how are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm doing really well. I'm glad to be sitting here, connecting with you. I like the way you introduce that intro, this idea of a broad spectrum. I think it's super important because if you come in narrow, you're not gonna be, you're not gonna be able to make too many mistakes. I've seen people come in really narrow on a particular technique or method, and then they stick there for the. I know someone who stuck there for the rest of their life doing exactly that. And what I found was I came in very. I was a grave digger. I did the rubbish bins, which was great fun. I've swept the roads. Personal trainer, etc. And what I was always driven by was to find out why I was in so much pain. That was the physical and emotional pain, and why we had so much trauma in my family. So I was bouncing around looking for kind of what I was good at, and I realized now I realize, but back then I didn't so much. But I can listen. I listen very well, and I can pattern rec I have very good pattern recognition. And so very early on, I was you'd class as an empath is because I was so desperate not to be hurt. I would go around controlling my environment by reaching into people and feeling how they felt so that I could support them and not be a letdown sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so that took me into personal training. As you said, Chelsea Football Club, I was head of strength and conditioning injury prevention. And that's when, so a while ago now, I started to bring the Western medicine, my work working for a medical team. And I was always fascinated by traditional Chinese medicine energy work. And it became untenable not to put them together. And if you want me to tell you the story of how I went down the rabbit hole with that, I can do.
Well, we talked. I remember. I mean, if I can sort of summarize where we were last time, we talked about this guy that had a problem, and then you said think of a bad thing, the worst thing,
Yes.
his whole
Yeah.
body like twisted,
Yeah.
and then you said, all right, now think of the best thing, and it can be X-rated, yeah,
Yes, that's right.
the most wonderful thing that you can think of, and his whole body changed, and you went.
Yes.
That
Holy
was
shit.
like, okay, I can't do what I'm doing
Anymore.
anymore. I can't pretend that there's not something else going on, which I think is interesting that you had a self-realization that led you to then make life-changing decisions. That's
Yeah. Yeah, those are always the best. You walk through yourself. So I went into down the rabbit hole with energy work. And my compass was always, do I get results? Am I getting results, or just am I making the person feel nice? Am I resolving the issue? And then am I kidding myself? Is there something I'm doing here that my bias is coming in? And so I was always, I'm driven not to do the wrong thing. I'm always driven to do the right thing, which I'll talk about later, is a kind of a jammed up behavior. But that's a good compass. It's like, what they're doing, I'm going to try it out myself. Does it work? And I'm constantly looking at the people who's doing the work and who's talking about it, and understanding, like, why are they, what are they selling? Is this a grift? Are they being fully truthful? And I don't mean, are they lying? I mean, are they being honest with themselves?
Right. Something can be valid, but not correct. In essence, they can be saying something that what you're saying is valid, but why you're saying it and where it's coming from is actually not correct, but what you're saying is still valid. We have that. We've had that quite a bit in energy work, I feel. But one reason I wanted to get you on was like to talk about Camus as well, because that's sort of one of the reasons we also connected was through that story. And of course, Cam's passed on, and I felt like nobody's really recognized that he's gone. Seemed like, what I don't want to say, what a shame, because it's a fact of life. I think he'd probably want everybody to be neutral about it anyway. I think in so many ways he's one of the greats, really. Really one of the greats energy work with his innovations.
I totally agree, Richard. He's so far ahead than people. First of all, he's the guy that got me. He's the one that took me down the rabbit hole. He was my teacher. He was a friend as much as, because I sometimes email him, and I was fortunate enough, I had this feeling that I needed to email him last year, the end of last year, to say how much I appreciated him. And I wrote, sensei or teacher, you have done more for me than anyone else in my life, and I appreciate you, et cetera, et cetera. And interestingly, I'm glad I said that, and he said, I really appreciate that. My thoughts on Camus also is, he taught me so much. He was so advanced. Like, I can listen to his stuff now and go, oh shit, I hadn't seen that. He can say one simple sentence, no one here. If you really go into that, it's mind blowing.
Can I sort of interrupt you and just let me bring you back in time to that introduction to Camus and your experiences of his work with you, and like, you can remember those moments where you felt like, oh, something just changed, and wow. Can you think of like a specific story?
There are kind of thousands, but with Cam in particular, the first time I was aware of him in 2008, and then I just quickly looked and came, and then I came back to him, and I was suffering from such bad back pain that my leg was going numb. I would crawl out of bed in the morning to the toilet. I put my hand on my leg to try and lift the toilet seat every day, and I spent tens of thousands on different specialists from all over the world. No one could tell me. And then I saw Cam had a online clinic. So I paid
tens of thousands of pounds, we're talking about.
Yeah, well, I paid one person $10,000.
Oh, $10,000.
I've been to LA, physiotherapist, Paris, Marseille, UK different Olympic.
Right. So you've gone
therapists.
Down the rabbit hole, believing that
it's
you've
physical.
got this affliction, and no,
Yeah.
everybody says it's something else, I guess, or
yeah. And you know, it's this or that, or chiropractor says it's your mercury filling or this or that. Okay. And Cam, you know, I went on his site and it said, type in your problem. So, and it was $45. Let me just try it. I never believed in a
right.
Like it was $40 or something. So I wrote.
But he did have that sort of feeling of being a Barrow boy, didn't he?
That's what I want to talk about as well, because there's something deeper there in Cam. But I typed in what I told you, and then I said when I wake up in the morning, da, 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 and then when I go for a run, my calves tear, like they were so tight. And so I wrote that. It was two lines. And then the next day, the next day I woke up, it was gone. And I hadn't seen his reply. So he'd on the call, I got the recording. He said, Rob B, you're weak to the bed, you're weak to this, you're weak to that, and there's karma. But it was gone. And I was going around jumping up and down, trying to get the pain back.
So this was like, you're in a Cobham, or
I was in Barcelona. At
oh,
the
you're
time.
In Barcelona. You're sending a message to LA, where he was.
Yes,
California, where he was.
Yeah, via the website.
Via the website. You hadn't had any contact with him. You just, you know, you pay $45.
Yeah,
and
he connects with me.
Yeah, like he sent you an email back. Yeah, basically saying you.
Yeah, I got a recording of the whole call.
Yes.
And so, but I woke up in the morning, my back pain was gone. I was like, what's going, you know, like years. And I was like, what? And I couldn't believe it. And so I listened to the recording, and he said what he'd strengthened, but he had already done it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's incredible.
Yep. Yeah.
And it was gone. And at that moment, I went, that's the one and zero. That's what I've been looking for. Strong or weak, the story with the athlete. And then I went,
wait a minute, let's stop you there, because a lot of people are not going to know what you're talking about. So essentially, am I right in understanding? You're saying, like, there's a problem or there's no problem. Like, you're either weak or you're strong. It's like, let's keep it really simple. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So you're either strong to something, and it's, we should be strong to everything. We should be. But what we do have are little holes in the bucket, let's say, little holes weakening our energy. When you have a weakness, it means it is weakening you. So whenever there's something going on in your body, there's going to be a corresponding weakness or weaknesses to that symptom, say a pain or an emotion. Like, let's say my shoulder's hurting. Cam could have said, oh, your right hip is weak. Yeah. And it's the symptoms here, but that's not where the weakness is. So it's a completely different way of looking at, it's like a code, one and a zero code. One being strong, zero being weak.
Yeah.
So he'd said, you're weak to the bed, you're weak to the horizontal position. That's the first time, like, there's vertical and there's horizontal. If you go into a horizontal position, some people are weak to that. And then he said, you have karma of hunting humans, and I think it's like hitting them with arrows in their calves. I was like, what is that? I was totally skeptical. That's another thing. I try and be as skeptical as I can be, and I'm looking for the truth. But he just blew me away.
Right. And skeptical in terms of you don't believe it, or you skeptical in terms of, like, the philosophical skeptic says, I withhold judgment. I don't disbelieve it. I don't believe it.
Yeah, good. It's great. I would say both.
Okay.
What I want to do is I hold judgment. And so I'm constantly, if someone's telling me something, I want to just take in the information and then test it and try it and see if there's any, if the person who's telling me is trying to exaggerate, or I'm just being balanced, and which is skeptical, not believing everything, not disbelieving everything.
Yeah.
But yeah. I have a tendency more to, I'm not going to believe it. I need to test it. And yeah. And so, but my back pain was gone. And so I was like,
$10,000 and 45.
It's more like 100,000.
Wow.
I spent. Wow. I flew all around the world.
Wow.
Like, if you put in, and also if I think about how much I spent, also the emotional pain and the books and the hours and the pain and the anxiety and the depression, and
it wears away. I mean, I think I think people who've had something chronic, it wears away at your self-worth, because you just think, mm-hmm. like, you know, there's something wrong with me. Other people can't find it. I'm, you know, your self-confidence goes. It's really toxic.
And I would say, when you said self-worth, I look at things in terms of, not always, but the self-worth will pull in that experience to resolve the self-worth problem. So when how something makes you feel, an injury or something, is part of the solution. It's like, you need to, you know, if someone's I worked with someone recently who is a grown man, very kind of well known and stuff, and he's bedridden with his back's gone, and he was, you know, crying. He couldn't do anything. He was completely not independent. He was completely limited and enslaved. Mm-hmm. And that deep sadness was part of the reason he had the back problem in the first place.
Right.
So we had to go there. It was, so, you know, I can come more to how my way of looking at things has developed, and CAM is a integral part on that.
Yeah. So what did you then go to? I mean, this one thing, then the next. So
yeah,
did you then go to LA, or did you just find where he was doing in his next class and go there? Or
yeah. So I bought everything he had. I found, like, when I, it happens like maybe 5-6 times in my life where there's a significant doorway. I knew at that point, that morning, all my hairs go up. I knew this was it. This is what I was looking for. So I bought everything he had. I downloaded everything he had. His e-zine articles, I downloaded them, and I studied it 8 hours a day. I deconstructed what he was doing. So I was listening. I was like, what is he doing? And that's all I did. All day, every day, I was listening to him deconstructing in my head what he was doing. And so when the first course came, which I think was in Gran Canaria, maybe, I went there and I already knew what. So he was doing a course on how to do it. I already knew. I taught myself. Not, but he was my teacher. But he tells you right. what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So I did that.
He kind of didn't really hold back. He had a funny kind of didactic. He wouldn't teach you as much as he'd strengthen you to getting what he was teaching.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
He had a strange way of doing things. So people would have a question and he would strengthen them until their question.
Yeah.
So they were neutral about the question. They didn't. Yeah,
any question is a weakness. Like, any question, there's something underneath. So when I work with someone and they have a question, then I go, okay, do you still have the question? Like, I strengthen the weakness. Do you still have the question? They're like, how'd you do that? Like,
yeah.
And which is incredible, Richard. What you just said there is one of his, to the Zen masters, that the student would ask a question and they would say, the frog is on the lily. So they yes. get them to go away and look for why they asked the question, whereas he would strengthen the weakness. It was
extremely frustrating for somebody who's very left-brained.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to kill this guy. Yeah, he won't answer any of my questions. He's a terrible teacher. On the other, if you're right brained, you're going, oh my God, he's a genius. Yeah, so it's, and I think both impressions of Camus are out there.
Yeah, the first time I saw him live, I've got two little stories. One, I thought it was funny. He thought it was funny. He was teaching, and then he asked questions. So this lady came up. There was two things that struck me. I was home. Nothing could have distracted me. I wanted to see him work live. And this woman came up, and she started sobbing, like, and she was facing him. And he said to the translator, "Can you tell her to turn away from me? She's weakening me." I was like, "Oh shit!" But she was like, onto, so not literally onto him, but, and yeah, he turned her away, and I was like, "What?" So that in that made a mental note in my head, what's going on there? And I understand what he was saying now. And the other thing was, someone came up and she said, "Hi, I'm a doctor, and I have this extreme, a long name wrong with her brain."
Yeah.
But it's like an itis, doesn't mean anything. It's just a long name, a label.
Yeah.
And he said, "What are your symptoms?" And she said, "No, I have da, da, da." And then he said, "What are your symptoms?" And she said again, "No, but like, I have this illness." And then he said, "I can't work with you. Go." And she walked back. And I was like, damn, what just happened? And so now I realized that she was so attached to the label the medical profession had given her, she was not able to look at the reason why she went to the doctors, which was through symptoms. Hmm. And so they labeled her, and that was a life sentence for her. And because she was a doctor,
it's a terrible demo. I mean, like, I think there's loads to deconstruct in that thing if somebody's got these things. But I mean, I imagine people come to you and they say, "I've got a da da da." I mean, if they come and say, "Oh, yeah, you know, I can work with you," but essentially, if you don't have a feeling, you're not going to feel anything's changed. So, how do we? What, that is so boring for everybody looking.
Yeah,
see
that, Richard. Again, you're hitting on these. What you just said there is deep. Like, you can say it on this, but if you spent nearly 30 years looking at this, what you just said, you said, if they can't feel the symptoms or why they came to you, then they're completely caught in the matrix of their mind. They're thinking about, and they're stuck. There's no way they can change. But we know that we've worked with people and heard the words the doctors say, "Oh, it's a miracle. We don't know, but you had this incurable thing. How on earth did you cure this incurable thing?" Well, it's only incurable when you put a label on something and the doctors don't know, because their whole basis of medicine is not based on any emotional input or energy. So yeah, it's happened.
Interestingly, you know? Rob, I'm finding it fascinating. You put in your symptoms, which is a little bit like you said, "I've got this and this," and he was still able to do it. But this woman comes up and says, "I've got a label." It's like, yes. Yeah, okay, yeah. So I can work on that, but then what do we know?
Yeah, people attach to the, and it gives them a label, and it gives them, they don't have to take responsibility. That sounds a bit harsh, but let me, for example, I was working with a lady, I won't say which country, but she was ahead of maybe ME society. She was the head of it. So she said, "I've got," she was referred by someone, which is a bit of a red flag for me. When someone refers someone else and they haven't come themselves, I'm always a little bit careful before going in now, comes with experience. And she said, "Yeah, I've got this and this." And I said, "Okay, so let's resolve this." And she said, "What? I'm the head of the ME Society. I was like, what?
Right.
So she didn't, she was like, no, I'm the head of the, what if, you know, she's, her identity is so tied in with the illness.
Yeah.
That she didn't want to lose it, which is, that goes into the whole mind, ego, identity, labeling, attachments that come up when you're dealing with healing work. It's the mind that gets in the way.
Yeah. So, I mean, I mean, there are so many great examples of lessons we've learned. Is there another one you want to share before we talk about like what
with, you've been about Cam?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. It's just, I've seen so many thousands of people, thousands and thousands. It's just ordinary, him resolving things. It was ordinary. And what struck me, and this goes into my looking at the deeper behaviors. I call them hamster wheels. I talk about it in my book. With Cam, I can see here, he's the one that taught me about hamster wheels, because Cam is this master of energy, but there were certain things I saw in his behavior he couldn't see. Right. So
tell us about that. So what is a hamster wheel?
Okay. So a hamster wheel is a deep program that is created very early in childhood through a kind of non-attachment or a disconnect, a one and a zero, but a zero. Most children in Western society and Eastern, we've lost the community and family strong connection. So a baby's born, however much the parents try to be there for the child, there's a disconnect. It's just, I haven't met anyone who hasn't, and I experienced it. So we create these very simple programs to try and get our needs met that weren't met, the unmet needs.
Hmm.
So the program is so simple that it works like a hamster wheel. It looks like you're going somewhere. So let's say with Cam, I just checked his hamster wheel is. So he steps on, he wants to gain. And the opposite of gain is loss. So that duality of the mind, the frame that we look through life in. So that this is one of the deepest hamster wheels, is gain and loss. So he steps on as a little boy to gain love, connection, belonging by becoming extremely good, valuable at what he does. You'd agree, right? He was Grandmaster of Kung Fu. He's an engineer, chiropractor, and he advanced energy medicine more than anyone. I know he's so far ahead. So you could see him gain, but the nature of the hamster wheel is you either slide back or you flip over. So I developed this by talking with thousands of clients and seeing, oh shit, it's working like a hamster wheel. The more they try and gain, it depends which side they're weak to. Okay, that's another one and a zero. We're either weak to one side or the other.
Mm.
The more you try and gain, the more you're going to lose. So, for example, someone might try and gain more clients, and then they get to a point and then they never get any more. They lose interest in it, or they feel procrastination comes in. Or they're trying to gain health, they get to a certain point and then they lose their health and they sabotage. So with Cam, I was always looking, and I say this, like, I saw behaviors in Cam that were, he wanted to gain, but he had a brake on. So I was at the Stuttgart conference, and the guy who created it did an amazing job. 1,000 people. He made a huge amount of money for Cam and himself. And Cam came in with his partner and some crew. And the partner, I think, was something to do with what he said. But he said, I'm going to change the terms. And he said, I'll give you 10%. Like, it was 50-50, and he changed it. And he also put first class tickets on the bill. And so I spoke to the organizer just after it happened. He was white and shocked.
Livid, yeah.
Now, I'm not, and so what I'm trying to do is look for why did that behavior happen? Well, Cam wanted to gain money, but he had in him a program from very young that he couldn't see, that he always lost. He had to lose. And so he gained shorthand, but then no one would do a business with him. And you could say he should be seen as the one of the greatest energy healers of all time, but he is weak to gain. That's why he had a break on. He was never there's a story that Oprah called him on and he didn't do it. So these programs, when you see them, then you can start to dissolve them.
Fascinating. It's almost like it's part of human nature, these programs.
Yes. Yes.
Because
the conditioning.
Yeah, this power thing, once you get a certain amount of power, you assume things, yeah, which can be
and
quite
then you
yeah,
sabotage.
Really, yeah. Well, you become quite a bit of a psychopath or a narcissist to other people.
Right.
I mean, there's research on it. That's not
yes.
saying
and
that
then,
about anybody. I'm just
then
saying.
You lose. So the nature of this is always balance, neutral. So, you know, with gain and loss, if you're neutral to both, you understand some, you know, you're not driven to always gain. Like I work with, there's a high net worth individual I work with, and he has gained huge fortune, but he feels lost and impoverished, like empty, because the program is not, it's a hamster wheel. It's how we create things when we're 1 year old. So right. In understanding that, and Gabor Mate, he would say, when you understand that a child created these programs, then you can, with compassion, understand that, and it dissolves it. So it sets you free by understanding the truth. So I have that as my base layer now. I was just saying, and above it is the ones and zeros.
Right.
So these programs filter into the body, our emotions, which slow down the meridians and then create, initially stagnation and then problems. But it's all coming from these deep conditioned programs. But there's also other stuff that's weird, karmas and things. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where I go. It can be valid, but not correct. That's where one of the things I go to people, don't even worry if it's correct. It can still be valid. Yeah.
Yes.
Because somebody says, okay, you were shot in the, in the calves, or you're shooting people in the calves in your karma. And you can go, no idea. Yeah. No idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Past lives. Okay. Let's not go into the conversation.
Yeah.
Do I feel better? Yes. So
yeah.
Valid.
Yeah. 100%
useful.
With when that comes up for me, I really don't believe anything. I see things and I see it again and again that it gets results. So
right.
Karma is a classic example. And if someone goes, why you believe in karma? I'm like, no, I don't need to believe in it. That's what's coming up, and I strengthen it and you're better. And someone might say, oh, it's just placebo. People want to hear that they've got karma and curses and everything. And I'm like, no, I work with people. I've worked with babies.
Yeah.
And
we don't understand the placebo. There's Andy Clark, Sussex University.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic work, Ted Kapchuk, on people can take placebos and they know it's a placebo, they know it has no active ingredients, and they have phenomenal results with it. So I mean, there's fantastic scientific research on placebos that just tell us there's enormous power in them. So yeah, but I'm fascinated. What you're saying is so interesting, and really down the line of a book that I wrote, which is called The Tao's DNA, because the DNA is like ones and zeros, but in a It's like a base four with guanine and adenosine. I can't even remember them, but and so you've written a book, haven't you? So have you got the hamster wheels in your book?
Yeah, I kind of that's coming out in the bigger, the deeper book that I'm going to. I mention it and say fundamentally, I've got, you'll like the, I did some AI art. Probably people, there's someone on the hamster wheel.
Hamster wheel, that reminds me of my hamster.
Yeah, so the book's called Mind Decentralized, Becoming Masterless. And really what I'm driven, what I get excited about is freedom for myself and for individuals. So with the ones and zeros, I enjoy doing that. And sometimes people want to come to me and they need help. They do, maybe they're an actor and they're not going to learn the method. With the hamster wheels, they have to do it. The individual has to step through himself. It's through self-observation of these programs that they dissolve. So it gives back the authority to the individual. And I like that. I don't want to be anyone's go-to. I want people to walk around on the planet and be in charge of their own body. That means understanding, the sun is healthy. Food should be whole food, like food, not right. Synthetic, artificial. They need to get outside in nature, reconnect. And then also understand, if they want to, that there's a one and a zero thing going on in our body, and we can all learn it. You don't have to, but you can all learn it. But the deeper stuff, when I work with a client, they have to do the proof of work. They have to do it themselves. And sometimes they say, oh, can't you strengthen me? And I'm like, no, this is your responsibility, is to see your programs. And so I love that. And the hamster wheels, I'm going into more. And Richard, the thing that I love about this hamster wheel is it came through hours and hours of working with clients on this board. And what I would notice was I'd write down things with people saying, and I'd start seeing a pattern. And that's, I'd listen and I'd pattern, and I'd be like, shit, if I draw a big circle here and put that on that side, I think they're saying always the opposite or the opposite. And then I looked the ones and zero. I'm like, oh shit, they're weak, and their partner is the opposite always. And so we have, and I'm like, oh, there's another hamster wheel. Oh, yeah. And so it developed. And then I got saw a post on Instagram. It was talking about Buddha. So he was a guy. I'm not talking about the religion. Buddha was a guy, and he sat in a tree for a long time and understood himself. And he said, the squirrel cage. I went, squirrel cage? Sounds like hamster wheel. I said, what's this squirrel cage? And he said, well, the more you try and get to the zenith or improve yourself, the more you get an idea. I was like, oh shit, it's the hamster wheel.
Right.
And so I put this model on, and then I got into Krishnamurti. I love Krishnamurti, and his way of thinking. But then I was observing him as a person, because no one's perfect, everyone's human. And he came across as being a little bit cold. And when he says, observe yourself, and without comment. So the highest form of intelligence, being able to observe yourself without commenting, Krishnamurti quote. So I did that. And then I was like, but my clients are finding it difficult to just logically observe. He's very logical. And then I'm like, for 3 weeks, I'm walking around going, there's something I'm missing. Is something I'm missing? Boom. I see a video of Gabor Mate. So the circle here, and what I did when I was working with clients, I drew a little circle here, and I didn't know why. Like, why am I drawing a little circle there all the time? And what it was, Gabor Mate said, we create these hamster wheels in early childhood because of the disconnect. That makes sense. And then he said, but if you just observe that, if a baby's crying, you pick them up, there's compassion, you understand with compassion. And I added the compassion, understanding this, to the observation, and it changed people much quicker. So that's, and then people, you know, the ones and zeros fit on top of that. Although when you're looking at the programs, there's a one and zero pattern in the programs as well.
And when you say one and zero, do you mean weak or strong?
I do. Yeah, weak or strong. So for instance, with me, there's gain and loss, one of the deep hamster wheels. I'm weak to gain. And so I'm always trying to gain, but I never do. And then one time I did this, spent a lot of time and effort creating an online course, which is still going, and it is really good. But the soon as I gained it, I went, poof, because I thought I wanted to gain money, but it's not about, gain weakens me. I have a break on. So I had to do a lot of self-observation of why is gain such a, why is it so dangerous for me? Why is it scary? And so I've worked at that. And since doing that, ironically, I'm gaining. So non-doing, Wu Wei. So,
well, I was going to say, you know, I tell people, and they say they're learning Tai Chi, you know, with me, I've got these free Tai Chi classes in the park in Chiang Mai.
Nice.
And they say, so how long does it take to learn Tai Chi? And I say 10 years. He said, well, what happens if I come like twice a week and, you know, really practice hard? And I said, 20. Because it's yeah. That you're pushing into it, and you yeah, have to flag into it. Yeah. And it's not hard. It's not easy. It's not easy.
No. Oh, Richard, this is the hardest thing, but it's also the easiest.
Right.
But it's for the mind, it's you. So he came to you, he wanted to gain health or control. And you said, well, it'll take you 20 but he was driven probably to move away from loss. He's uncomfortable with loss, but he will continue. You know, you try and control life, you're going to get something come back at you.
John Lennon. Yeah. Like life is what happens whilst we were making other plans.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, mate, you've got this book. I actually, you know, because I wrote, I mean, like, it's so difficult to write a book about energy work. Yeah. How did you, I mean, was it like you pulling your hair out at some point?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what, how do I define energy?
Rabbit holes. Like, how do you define energy?
The whole thing is so circular. You're trying to describe a circle by describing a small part of it, and it's like that's an arc. That's not the circle, you know. I had that whole challenge.
I mean, the more you look at someone like Lao Tzu. And the way he described, you know, his book, it's absolutely astonishing. He says nothing. Well, he says everything without saying anything. You're trying to connect to someone's mind to explain something that can't be explained from within the system, the mind. And so that's why I call decentralizing the mind. And I had to talk about my story and the way I came across things and build out on that, because otherwise, my publishing company is a Bitcoin publishing company. So
okay.
Let's say this guy's a doctor, Yoni Appleberg. He wrote Abundance Through Scarcity. So if you get into Bitcoin, you realize that it has the properties, Taoist properties. It does nothing, but does everything. There's no mind. There's no centralized control. So for me, Bitcoin is revolutionary, and it will come and it will help. I call that orange pill, or I don't call that in the Bitcoin culture. They call it orange pilling, but it's an orange pill to the red pill. The red pill is decentralizing the mind, but they're decentralizing the financial system, and that's Bitcoin. But the people in Bitcoin are very logical. So I did this talk at a conference in Latvia, a week or so ago, and I think people liked that I was talking about something so different, but they could, it was hooking them because they're into freedom, but they're going through money. But this book, look at it, it's just all the other books are really thick and mine's like a tiny little one.
Yeah,
and that's okay.
That's my question. So people can go on Amazon, I hope, and get your book, and then they can start working on themselves.
The larger book that I'm working on now, I want that to be a manual, especially with the hamster wheels. But it's tough explaining this complex work so that people can understand it. But that's what I'm doing. And then I have a website called masterless.life. And that's all free. I just tell everyone how to do things. And then I have a paid course if you want to. I have an 8-week course on how to do energy work the way I do it. And then I speak on 2 webinars a week. So that's a paid course because, you know, I'm there and working on it a lot. Yeah. But my masterless.life explains the hamster wheels. It explains the ones and zeros and weak and strong.
Very cool. So people will learn about the structures, but they won't necessarily be able to do energy work after the book. But your bigger book that's coming is going to be...
Yeah, I would say if they read the book, they will get... It will shift... They will understand the framework they need to move forward with.
Yeah.
It's just reinforcing the framework. Like this, this, and this. It's describing my masterless system, which is, you know, there's environment, food. You need to exercise. You need to move your body. You need to move the energy. You need to get outside and connect with the electrons. You need to, we're batteries. We need to charge the battery. You do that. With Tai Chi, you know, I'll do Qigong or I'll ground myself on the grass, laughter, sunshine. And then if you want to get more understanding, you go into the strong and weak energy and connecting with your midline and your insight to understand, why do I have this emotion? Why do I have this? And then inevitably, you're going to go all the way upstream and find out the causal factors, which it's not always hamster wheels, but often there are those hamster wheels and they create illness.
Yeah.
So every
I like the idea. I can see what you, I like the idea. I think you're fairly clear on, you know, how that works. I think people can get that concept. And so, you know, what else would you like to share with people? But because we're sort of coming up for time,
I miss Hong Kong food. You know, I'm in Madeira now, and it's beautiful. Portugal, it's like the Hawaii. It's like Hawaii of Europe. So huge mountains into the water. Freedom. Like, so I was always driven to be free. You know me, I'm just moving around. And I came to the island to set my feet down. My wife's working on a unschooling world unschooling hub called A Place to Be. It's a place to be dot me for children to be free and to be their own authority and to not to be coerced into schooling. So we have that project. And what I noticed was here, I have my mind is what makes me not free. And so I got these itchy feet. I'm like in the most beautiful place where it is. It's stunning. And then I start thinking, I start to see this negativity, like maybe it'd be better in South America or Mauritius. And I watched that my mind starting to try and shape my life, and I dissolved it. And then you can be happy anywhere. So if I was to say anything right now, whoever's listening to this, you can go away and start watching your mind. And when you watch it, you'll see that there's a certain pattern to the way it works. When you see that, it will dissolve. And that is freedom. And it can only be got to through decentralizing your mind from the centralized mind.
It's like, I'll bring it back to Camus and he'd say, let's delete the mind. Yeah. And like, 100%. So simple, so beautiful. Yes. Like your mind's got these limitations, just delete it. Yeah. You don't need it.
And it's still going to come back.
It's still going to like resurface again, but just like for that split second, you could delete it and everything's just as it is. So.
And that is, he was so advanced. I can't, he was just from another time. And people, we're so retarded now. And this guy comes along and even the energy workers are like, what do you mean on the spot? Yeah, you have to heal. It's like, just one day, maybe when I'm gone 100 years from now, people go back and go, wow, Tam's work was incredible.
Well, sort of my desire is to, I don't want to change the world because I think that's silly. That's just silly. Yeah. But it's to let people know there's stuff out there. Like Ingo Swann teleported. He apported. He was in one place and he appeared in another place. Yeah. And he wrote the report, he wrote his account on that. It can happen. There's loads of people that have what do they call it? A dual consciousness where they're in two locations at the same time, bilocation. Mm-hmm. And there's like sudden, spontaneous, immediate healing.
Mm-hmm.
Totally, totally possible can happen. I mean, like the limit, we don't know the limits.
No.
That's what science, bless them. That's what they need to understand is like the limits that you know aren't the limits.
Yeah. They say half of what you learn at medical school is wrong. They just don't know which half.
Yeah.
But and I don't know what, I have a tendency not to go there with the weird stuff, but yeah, I've seen stuff that I can't explain. And I think probably I hold myself back from being able to do more because my mind is, but maybe that's I'm imagining it. But then I look back at clients that, and so I'm constantly watching my own conditioned behavior from culture and medicine that, no, that's not possible. And then I look at the results. So that's my observation of that battle is, but the doctors say that's not possible. But I'm like, hundreds of people have been cured. And I'm like, why do I still believe authority? That's the thing. It's because I'm conditioned to follow authority, like all humans through. And I went to school. And so it's a constant dissolution of that need to follow authority that me personally, I have to see my own authority in my work. So, I'm human.
One human to another. Thank you so much for sharing. I think a lot of ideas and I love the masterless idea, and the book is available. Go and download it. You can't download it. You have to get the physical.
No, I'm getting onto the different variations, versions. Yeah.
But hopefully it'll come on out as a Kindle at some point. Thank you so much, Rob.
Thanks, Richard. Really great talking.